Another reminder that we have Trunk or Treat coming up very quickly at the end of this month. It will be on Halloween. We have a number of things for you to sign up and help with. This is the big event for us as far as the community reaching out. We have more that we will have contact with through Trunk or Treat. So we'll have upwards of 600 that will come to our property that night. There's sign-up sheets in the foyer regarding that. If you know that you want to do a trunk or you want to help with the bounce house or something like that, you can always sign up, but you can always also text me, text Janet, text Keith. Let us know what you're wanting to do, and we'll get your name on the list. Also, we have a ladies' retreat coming up November 18th and 19th at Burnt Cabin. Our ladies retreat, and I have to say, men, our ladies put us to shame. They typically have double what we have at our retreat, and I've seen the things they do at their retreat. I'm jealous. They're so creative. I mean, they do good stuff, and when I see ladies that are going to the retreat, and I notice that some of them are relatively new to us, I love seeing and knowing that different ones of our women are going to get to know each other on a weekend basis. So Burnt Cabin, the theme this year is having a merry heart in a Martha world. Having a merry heart in a Martha world. We've been talking the last couple weeks about generosity, and today will be the final sermon in that series. And today is about dreams of generosity. The first week we discussed and noticed how generous God has been with us and how blessed we are. And statistically, if you live in a house or an apartment, if you have food and clothing, if you have reasonably reliable transportation, you are in the top 15% of the world's wealth. And so when we come to a scripture like this one, 1 Timothy 6:17, understanding what I have compared to the world it puts me in a different place now when I read scripture from God's vantage point, because you are the rich. That's my point. The bottom 5% of earners in America are the top, or equivalent to the top 5% earners in India. We are the rich. And so as for the rich in this present age, Scripture tells us to put our hopes in God, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And so we are a generous church. You are generous people. And that generosity goes to the furthering of the kingdom. We talked last week about a number of things it goes toward. Your generosity goes towards our mission efforts. It goes towards benevolence, towards our youth, towards VBS, which is one of our great activities during the year, towards Trunk or Treat, Monday Night for the Master, not to mention the Silver Box opportunities, generosity that no one knows about. You are generous people. I want to mention another thing. We have computer equipment, video equipment, that Tori has led an effort in getting us to the point where on our website we live stream our services every Sunday. We have people watching from home every Sunday. By the way, wave to them real quick. Wave to our folks watching. And for you watching, there's more of us here. All they can see is this front middle section. These folks, I want y'all to know, they wave too. Everybody wave. We have people watching from home who are sick. We have people who are battling cancer and can't be around people to get sick, and they're watching from home. We have those in our community watching. We have those that live out of state and watch every Sunday. It's an opportunity for us. You can invite your friend to come worship with us, and you can also invite your friend, hey, go to our website, watch our service. It's another way for us to get the gospel to more people, isn't it? And that's what your generosity goes toward. Have we been generous? Yes. Can we be even more generous? Yes. I'm saying yes. We can make bigger impacts for the kingdom. What will it take? And I'm saying it will take less than you might think. Let me tell you about a typical trip for me going to Dollar General. I'll have Sydney and Abby with me, maybe. We go into Dollar General, walk down that first aisle, and it's not long to where one of them's, asking for something. When Sydney sees the little glass case with those Starbucks glass bottles, those things that cost $17 a piece, she sees those things, And she'll come and ask me for one of those. And so if I'm in a generous mood, okay, put that in the cart. Abby will grab some beef jerky. Dad, can I have this? You know, there's a lot worse things to eat than beef jerky. So that's, I'm not saying it's healthy, but it's in the ballpark. Put that in the cart. Go ahead. If I'm in a good mood. How about some popsicles? They'll snatch those up. Dad, how about some popsicles? Put them in. Hey, we're out of pop, by the way. Get one of those. Sometimes Sydney will ask me about peanuts. Honey roasted peanuts. She likes those from time to time. You know how they say nuts are good for you? Nuts are healthy. You know, eat a handful of nuts. I don't eat nuts that way. I can't stop at a handful. And so, you know, she'll get some honey roasted peanuts, and I know I'm going to eat most of that container. That's going to be me. But yeah, put that in there. Abby will want some fruit gummy snacks. I figure they have fruit in the name. That sounds pretty good. Maybe that's healthy. Put those in there. And $37 later, we walk out of Dollar General, and all I went in there for was toilet paper. Now, how often do we do that? With different things at different places. I want to talk about us being generous today, and I have to mention before I go further, I think historically, Churches of Christ, we've not talked a lot about generosity. And I think most of that, and this is in my lifetime, I think most of it is in reaction to so many other churches, television preachers who have abused the topic of generosity and have talked to people about giving, you know, when they didn't have it to give, or promised them, God wants you to be rich. Listen, if God wanted Christians to be rich, then Christians would be rich and you would see, right? You go, where are the Christians at? Well, that's a good neighborhood. I mean, the Scripture doesn't teach that. But it does teach us that God is generous and He will be generous with us. And when we are generous with His money, He will continue to be generous with us. That is biblical. But we've never passed the tray and counted it and didn't have enough and passed again. Churches do that. So churches have abused this topic, and I'll speak for me. I've pulled back on this topic and hesitated to speak on it, and I think many in our brotherhood have. But I want to talk about it today because there's joy in generosity, and because we need to be a people who are more generous with God's money. There's so much that God can do with it. What if we said no to ourselves sometimes? What if we did without sometimes? What could God do with an extra $20 that I'm blowing on something I don't need? What could God do with it? Can I skip a meal out sometimes? Can I skip a movie? And let's see what God can do with more of His money. And notice I say His money. That's a reminder for us, isn't it? Because as Christians, if you didn't think it was God's money before you became a Christian, when we submitted in baptism, gave our life to Christ, we gave it all. All of our life is His, isn't it? And so what can God do with more of His money? What could we do with greater funds in our benevolence budget? Here's a scripture from Proverbs 19:17, which reminds us, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed. What could we do with a larger pantry? Could we feed more people? Incidentally, our pantry funds come solely from you, independently of the budget, given to you give donations to Janet or to Jennifer Spencer, and those funds provide for our pantry. What could we do greater with mission efforts if we had greater generosity? Or maybe new ideas for God's money. Could we adopt a school that's close by, like Limestone, and provide for them in different ways and assist and be a blessing to our community? I want you to dream with me today. There's things we can do that we haven't done. There's things that we could do we haven't thought of. There's things we could do we've not even dreamed of because they would cost what we don't have as a church. But we do because God's blessed us. I want you to dream with me. When I came here in 1999, I came to a church family of dreamers. Because prior to 99, if you were here, raise your hand if you were here prior to 1999. If you were here prior to that, you dreamed. You had a thing called a vision. And that vision laid out a picture of what we could be as a church family, what you could be and could do. Within that dream, one of those was to hire a second minister, hire a youth minister. That was me. You as a church had dreamed of reclaiming the property across the street, the activity building. At that time, as a church, we were leasing it to a school. And you dreamed of an opportunity of us growing to the point of needing it and remodeling it. And we've since done that. You dreamed of us as a church growing. And God has given that. When we dream for God, God blesses us, doesn't He? I want to propose something that is so small for each of us, but could be so large for God. Think of it this way. If each of us skipped one trip to, let's say, Quick Trip, for example. And I don't mean skip it for gas. I mean skip it for what's inside. Okay? One time, each week, we didn't get the donut. We didn't get the breakfast biscuit. We didn't get chips. We didn't get 72 ounces of Dr. Pepper. Right? But instead, we took that $5, each of us, and gave it to God each week. What if we did that? What would that be? What would that small sacrifice add up to? For 250 people, and understand that includes children, and understand my children can do without a lot. When we're talking about $5 here, $5 there, right? No, we don't need the peanuts. We'll be okay without those this week. If 250 of us did that each week, $5 at the end of the month, that's $5,000. What's that at the end of the year? $60,000. For God. For kingdom causes. And all I've done is miss one thing that I didn't really need anyway. I'm trying to lose weight, by the way, and I spend money on things that do not help me at all. I may be the only one. If each of us missed something during the week and gave that $5 in addition to what we already give, how exciting would that be? Am I asking you to be more generous? Yes. We are followers of Jesus. That's what we do. That's who we are. We are generous people. And you may be thinking, hey, preacher, I live paycheck to paycheck. Hold on a minute. And I will tell you, living paycheck to paycheck doesn't necessarily mean that we don't have disposable income. I live paycheck to paycheck. I have a paycheck in my wallet right now that if I don't get in the bank tomorrow, bad things are going to happen this week. So I'm not saying, I will say this, the poorest person I know who has less than anyone I know here still spends some on soda, pop, right? Things that we could do without. I'm saying there's more generosity that we could give God and would not be that great of a sacrifice. I'm not talking about you selling your car and riding your bike to work. I'm not talking about you canceling your smartphone bill and going to a flip phone. However, have you ever noticed those that are carrying the flip phones seem to be happier than the rest of us? My dad just seems to be so happy, and I also notice a correlation. He has a flip phone. But I'm not saying drastic. I'm not even going to that point, okay? We're talking about small. I'm talking about eating at home at a night that otherwise you might order Mazzio's. I'm talking about getting gas at the gas station and not going inside for a frozen cappuccino. Janet? Janet knows where the best frozen cappuccinos are. She is a full-fledged addict to Quick Trip frozen cappuccinos. And she got that from me, but she's worse than me. Right? Isn't it funny how little things that we love, could we do without it once in a while? Could we do without the beef jerky at the gas station? Could we make coffee at home instead of going to Starbucks one day? Just one day for all you Starbucks addicts? So just skip one thing. By the way, I can't wait till this new Quick Trip comes in. I love it. I love Quick Trip. I've watched all the episodes of Airplane Repo. And I love the show Airplane Repo. It's about repossessing airplanes. So you have these people that if you saw them and didn't know any better, you would think, now this guy here or this lady here, she's doing well. Because these folks have money. When you afford the airplanes they have, these folks have some money, right? And you look at them, you think that, but in reality, they're living paycheck to paycheck and not paying some bills, namely the airplane bill, and that's when the bank hires people to go and steal it back. I just love it. So it I don't know why. But just because, let me just speak for me, just because I live paycheck to paycheck doesn't mean I don't have money I'm spending on things I could sacrifice to God, and it wouldn't be that big of a sacrifice. Isaiah 32:8 says, "He who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands." We need to plan our generosity, don't we? Preacher, you're asking me to rearrange my whole income around God? Yes. You're asking me to put my income to God first? Yes. For kingdom causes. Remember this passage? Jesus looked up, saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." I'm asking us to sacrifice something. To say no to us, to say yes to God. You may be worrying, you may be thinking, now listen, if me and my spouse, if we do that 5 a week apiece, that's 10 a week, that's 40 a month. That's 40 a month. And if you have children, 80 a month, preacher. I remember when Ted did the Financial Peace University classes. If you took one of those classes in the past, Dave Ramsey, raise your hand. Y'all aren't raising them proudly. I know why. It makes you stop spending money on some things. Willingly, but one of the first things you do in that class is you start tracking every dollar you spend. And for many of us, we've not done that before. And I remember doing that in that class for the first time. And I remember some wow moments when I added all certain things up during a month's time. And I remember noticing what a big contributor I was to Quick Trip, Dollar General, Walmart, even things like, Cox TV bill with on-demand movies. I thought we just rented one movie last month. Well, we rented four. I was supporting things a lot more. I was more generous to some causes than I realized, a.k.a. businesses. So my point is, sometimes we think, well, this is money I don't know that I can do without, and yet we not thinking about it, we're giving and we're generous to a number of things in our life that we could do without. We're huge supporters. I want to ask you today to dream bigger. Dream bigger. It would not hurt us at some point to update our auditorium. Pews, carpet, okay? Talking about updating the auditorium. We need to at some point. I remember in 1984 at my house as a teenager, we had a couch. It was it was mustard colored, right? And this couch, it was fabric, and it was not really, soft to the touch. It was surprisingly comfortable. The one thing you did not want to do was slap it, because the dust would come and you'd cough for weeks. It was a good old couch, right? We don't have that couch anymore, surprisingly. Mom and Dad don't have that couch anymore. Do you have the same furniture at your house that you had in 1984? Same carpet? So it's okay to update things in our life, isn't it? Do you realize how far back 1984 is? Let me show you something. There's a good-looking feller in this picture. Can you find him? Where's my pointer? This guy right here. That's me, 1984. Just to give you an idea how far back we're talking about. Okay? Isn't that a good looking kid? Thank you, Mom. I got one amen out of that. Okay. I'm asking you to dream with me about growth. To dream with me about growth to the point that we don't have enough classroom space. We need to take down some walls to provide larger classrooms. We need to bring in another building across the street or add on to one. We need to start thinking about other property to build a new church building, new property. I'm asking you to dream with me. Can we dream bigger than our God is? Are we a people that's trying to grow and bring in the lost? That's God's vision for the world. And I'm asking you to dream with me. There was a time when we added a second minister. Could this church benefit? Could we benefit from adding a third minister? I'm saying yes. I believe we could benefit from that. As a staff, as we've grown, as a staff, Janet, Keith, and I, there has been more to do. There is more each week that must be done. There's more each week that could be done. We have more deacons than we've ever had, and I love it. I love our deacons. I want to brag on our deacons. They work hard. They serve well. They lead. But they have limitations on their time. They have jobs and families, and they can't do everything. And so I want to brag on our deacons, but I also want to say, as a church, there was a time we could benefit from a second minister. We're heading toward a time we could benefit from a third minister. It would be a blessing. It may mean that we would have Keith shift to other duties and hire a new youth minister, or some other arrangement. But to have a third minister, to be able to have additional ministry time to allocate to things like outreach, involvement, children's ministry, elderly care, on and on, we can dream together. It would be a blessing. I'm not talking about adding to our staff to do work for you. I'm talking about adding to our staff to coordinate work with you. And it takes time, it takes effort. As a church, we've not been to the point where we're pushing 300 and rolling into 320 and 40 and 380. What is that going to be like? Dream with me. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I've always kind of read this verse in a sobering, kind of powerful way. But when Scripture talks about your heart, we're talking about excitement. We're talking about joy. It's not somber. It's not, we can't eat at Mazzio's three times this week. We're not talking about depressing things. We're excited. I was listening to the radio this week. Talk radio about financial things, and one caller called in and talked about how he and his wife, they're planning for their children. They don't have children yet, but they're planning, and they don't spend money on just about anything that they could do without. In other words, they don't get the frozen cappuccinos, they don't get the Funyuns, and each of those $5 items and $10 here and there. And this is a couple that have income. But they take all of that, they're putting it in investment properties, and they're looking for the day that they can bless their children with it when their children are older. Okay, and the caller just talked about how excited he was, and he and his wife get a kick out of not spending money on these little things and spending and investing it. Now, I don't do that, okay? So I'm like Richard. I got a chuckle out of that, honestly. But it's okay. My point is, it can be exciting to say no to one thing so I can say yes to something else. And I want to invite you to the excitement of each week doing without something small, and let your children be a part of it, and say, let's take this $5 bill and put it in this place, and Sunday, let's see what God can do when we take a little of ours and add it to what we're already giving. Our heart can have joy for this. Each one must give as he has decided. I want to make a quick point about Scripture teaches us God loves a cheerful giver. If you cannot give cheerfully, don't give. Don't give. If you can't do what I'm talking about today, if you can't do without, your bag of Funyuns or your Starbucks, if you can't do without it and give to God cheerfully, don't do it. I'm not trying to pressure you to give. I'm trying to excite you to take money we spend on things we don't need. By the way, I could have a garage sale. Could you? Of things that I once bought and I no longer need or use that are valuable enough that some other person will actually come and pay me to take it. May not pay me a lot, but they will come and pay me for items I have that I don't need. So if we talk about, do I spend money where I don't necessarily need to? Guilty. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Charles Page, at one time in his life, his giving blossomed, and he came to the realization, and he would once say that ever since he decided to give 10% to the big guy, and that's how he put it, Charles Page, he said, "I've never done without." He had a belief that if I will be generous with God's money, God will be generous back to me. That is biblical, and I love that idea. And I'm asking you to dream with me about this. I want to leave you with this thought. I myself have regretted buying things. And I know many people who've regretted buying, this or that, whatever it is. I have never met someone who has regretted their generosity helping to change a life. I want to excite you to dream with me about what God could do with more of His money. As a church, let's keep dreaming. Let's keep praying. Let's keep serving. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there's something on your heart this morning that you'd like us to pray for you about, if there's one this morning that would like to give their life to Christ and have their sins washed away, we would like to invite you to do that during this song, if you would come while we stand and sing.
I love